97.5, The Fanatic.
NHL goaltender, former Flyers goaltender, and member of the NHL on NBC. You see me between the benches with Doc and Edzo. It's Brian Boucher joining us right now. Boucher, how you doing, man?
Doing well, Jason. How you doing? Some good news, finally. Some good news.
Yeah, it felt like it was trending to good news, but when you get the actual ratification and the owners voted unanimously and the players voted at 78.8% of the membership for the new CBA and the return to play, that's obviously really good news. That's a high percentage of players, too, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, considering the alternative, you know, I think when you really think long and hard, and the other thing you got to keep in mind, too, is whole ratification, it was two things wrapped into one. One, the return to play agreement that was in there, but also the extension of the collective bargaining agreement. So you couldn't have one without the other. You had to agree to both, and I think that's where, you know, the players started to realize, you know, look, the landscape going forward without a CBA extension, you know, there would have been a lot of question marks and a lot of unknowns. And although it's not perfect for the players, it's not perfect for the owners, it's not perfect for agents, you know, you kind of just have to suck it up and say, you know what, this is the landscape that we're in. We got to make the best of it. Everybody's going to feel a little bit of pain, but at the end of the day, you know, there's a chance that, you know, we could see a Stanley Cup champion crown this year, and there's going to be some labor peace for the next 6 years, which is a positive.
Yeah, and that's where, too, since Gary Bettman's been the commissioner, anytime there was a collective bargaining agreement expiration, there was some sort of stoppage to avoid that, and to get these two things done collectively is great for the game, and the fans really kind of are the ones that are going to benefit the most. Boucher, the game returning, it's going to be in the hub cities in Toronto and Edmonton, both north of the border, which is good because actually they save a little money there too with the 70 cents on the dollar because of the Canadian dollar. How will players kind of react to being, you know, not quarantined, but I guess bubbled off in these hub cities? They'll have things that are set up for them to do, but how will that affect them during the playoffs? Because you've been in a lot of playoffs and you almost bubble yourself off anyway, don't you, from society while you're in a run?
Yeah, you do. And I think there's been some made about this, and I don't see it. I mean, I think players, when they get into that playoff mode and you're playing every other day, you want to just be with your teammates, you know. You want to be together. You don't want to have outside distractions. You don't want to have to worry about the stuff going on at home or paying bills or what have you. You just want to focus on one thing and one thing only, and that's winning hockey games and preparing for the next game on the off day. So I don't think it's going to be a big deal. I mean, it's going to be a little different in the sense that, you know, we are at the end of July, early August, and this is typically a time when guys are at their lake houses or their vacation homes or their summer homes. And certainly that's going to take a bit of an adjustment because guys, you know, look forward to their off seasons. But, like I said, you know, earlier when we were talking about the other stuff, I mean, this is far from ideal for a lot of people, and you have to find a way to suck it up. And I think for these guys, being in a bubble, keeping it safe, understanding how important it is, especially with some of the positive cases we've seen leading up to this point, because guys have been a little bit loose, they're going to realize they got to tighten it up, and they got to stay in that bubble and do what they can for the good of everybody. I think the guys are going to buy in. I don't see an issue with that. You know, obviously anything can happen unforeseen, but I think they're going to give their best effort to remain disciplined and see this thing through.
The one thing is the next couple of weeks before getting to the bubble is really key here, isn't it? Once you get to the bubble, conceivably, that should be one of the safest places on the planet. But getting to the bubble and training camp starting on Monday. Bush, what's the key for teams coming out of this to either recapture what they were before or be even better, or to kind of get their confidence in their game as a team rolling right away? What's the key in how they prepare through this kind of two-week training camp before they head to their hub city?
Yeah, I mean, I would think most guys have been skating on their own or in small groups wherever they've been living. So, you know, you hope, number one, the conditioning has been picking up for them. That's the first one. And then, you know, the second one, when you get back and you're part of a team, it's about honing in on your systems. I think that's something that I think coaches are really going to try and get into. I think, you know, your defensive play, your play away from the puck is going to be important. I think special teams are going to be huge. I think teams can ride they're skilled players in those situations where, you know, you haven't been advantage, you got to cash in. So I think focusing on those things could be a way to kind of get a team on track. And look, I mean, you know, I wonder if the veteran guys will have a little bit of a longer time to get back into it. I mean, you know, the, you know, father time is not friendly sometimes, and you got to think that some of these young guys with the young legs and their, you know, and the fact that they're naive and, you know, they're young and dumb, they don't think much. They just go out and play, and sometimes that can be the best recipe for a lot of things, especially when you don't overthink things, and maybe the teams that are young and fast, they might be the ones that are able to get off to a quick start.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, it's that. It's almost like the ignorance of just see hockey, play hockey. don't get caught. Yeah. Don't let what's between your ears cloud you. Real quick, to ask you about this. You know, there's a rhythm in your body to being a professional athlete. You have those markers through the year. Here's when I get back on the ice. This is when I tax my body all the way through the playoffs. Is there like a rhythm to the body that's kind of going right now? Like, oh, this is different. Would that be something you would notice as a professional athlete?
I don't, maybe it's the mind, I think. I think the body, it's had time to recuperate. Guys were able to shut the engine down a little bit there, you know, in the initial stages of quarantine. I think it's more the mind. I think it's just getting your mind geared towards, I got to get amped up to play here. You know what I mean? And this is not getting amped up to play to go to training camp for a couple of preseason games and start the regular season. This is about, I got to get amped up to play some big games right off the hop, especially if you're in a play-in round. Oof. So I think it's the mind. I think it's the mind that has to, when these guys get back to camp here on Monday, they got to get focused. They got to get dialed in. They got to get focused on what they need to prepare for. The Flyers, on the other hand, you know, they got three play-in games that aren't quite as important as those play-in round games for some of those teams. But you got to find a way to get your mind geared towards, this is not going to be the normal July, August where you're kind of tiptoeing into training camp in September. You got to be ready to play and find your game immediately.
Yeah, imagine that in a best of five, too. You lose game one. Now, all of a sudden, you got to beat a team 3 out of 4. That's not easy to do, no matter who the opponent is. And especially if you're the favorite and lose game one, then all of a sudden, it's a woohoo. Let me ask you about this. Who's going to be ahead, the players, the shooters, or the goalies? You know, sometimes like pitching's ahead of the hitting or hitting's ahead of the pitching. Who's going to be ahead in that regard in preparation for a goaltender like Carter Hart and Brian Elliott?
Yeah, I always think it's going to be the shooters personally. I mean, I just think, you know, if they can get on the ice, get skating, get touching the puck, get their hands going, you know, these young guys, I think they come around pretty quick. Goaltenders, it's always like you're just not sure, you know, like, you know, sometimes you can find your game pretty quickly and sometimes it takes a little bit longer to get your time here. I just don't think you have the luxury of finding that time like you typically do, right? And if you go in October in a normal setting, it's, you know, in October, you go 2-7 to start the 2-5 to start the season. It's not the end of the world. You know what I mean? But here, if you go down, like you said, 1-0, 2-0 in a series, you're in trouble.
So you're bored to play out of there.
Yeah, so there's added pressure in there. I think the skaters and shooters will have a quicker time of finding their game before the goaltenders. I could be wrong. I mean, maybe these young goaltenders, guys like Carter Hart, maybe they're in the same mindset where they just go play and it turns around pretty quickly. But from my experience, I would think it's going to take a little longer for the goalies.
Boosh, any puck tracking issues for goaltenders with no fans in the stands and having, you know, a variety of colors in those seats for contrast to see a puck? Is that an issue? Are the stands in Toronto darker, or are they going to put some kind of covering on those to help tracking? Is that an issue or in any way, shape, or form?
I believe the seats in Toronto in the lower bowl are gold or something like that, gold or silver or platinum, so there should be some contrast there. But I truthfully, I have never in my life had any issue with any of that. I never thought about that. I had plenty of morning skates in the big buildings when nobody was in the crowd. I never once lost a puck to a seat, with the vision. So I can't imagine that there's going to be any issues with that. I think the weirdest thing that's going to be there for the players, and not, for the players, the goalies, everybody, I mean, it's just going to be the fact that there are no fans, and there's going to be a missing element of energy that is part of playoff hockey. That's what makes playoff hockey so good, is that you feed off of the crowd, you feel the crowd. You think of Philadelphia when you get to, the playoffs, and, they're chanting "Let's go Flyers." I mean, it's noticeable for a player. You feed off of that. So that's going to be an adjustment for the players. I think that's the one that they're going to have to find a way to manufacture that energy on their own. They're going to have to find their games. They're going to have to be disciplined in their systems, and they're going to have to find a way to get the job done without the help of an outside source. It'll be a new dynamic, but I think it'll be interesting to watch.
I have a suggestion to help that, by the way, and that is, it's real simple, is to grab that really big, shiny Stanley Cup and put it in between the benches next to you. So every time they come on and off the ice, they see that and they know what they're playing for. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
You go, that's what we're playing for right there.
Well, keep in mind, part of this CBA extension is that the playoff pool money share has doubled for this year. It was $16 million, and now it goes to $32 million. So monetarily, there's more incentive for the players to go further into the playoffs and to win the Stanley Cup. You get to put a little bit more bonus cash in your pocket. I'm not suggesting that's what the players play for, but certainly doesn't hurt.
You don't deny the money. You're not going to give it back.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'll take the check. No problem. Boosh, last thing for you. Is there any way that you can have a conversation with the Flyers goaltenders and teach them the secret to going 300 plus minutes in the NHL of shutout hockey? Is that possible? Do you have the secret to that?
I don't have any secret to that. I look back on that. I don't even know how the hell that even happened. Sometimes, a blind squirrel finds a nut.
Not five times in a row, Boosh. Come on.
Yeah, but I don't know. The stars aligned perfectly for me. And it just worked out that way. But I trust me, I think Carter Hart's going to be plenty fine in his NHL career as far as collecting shutouts. I hope he doesn't get five in a row. Maybe he gets four and then lets in a goal and then starts another one and goes four and doesn't touch my record. But I'm sure he's going to have plenty of shutouts before it's all said and done.
Flyers legit contender here to win this in this very unique situation?
100%. I think anybody that was a playoff team going in should think very good about their clubs. Number one, everybody's healthy again, right? I mean, we certainly don't know about Nolan Patrick's status, but by and large, everybody's healthy. Guys are rested. You throw all of, the only thing the Flyers had going for them was they were 9-1 heading into the pause, and certainly they would have liked to continue to ride that momentum, but who knows? Maybe they would have tailed off, and maybe that would have cooled off before they got to the playoffs. I mean, nobody knows, but this is a team that defends a lot better than they did in the last couple of years. Their young guys are starting to get a little bit more seasoned. They added some veterans on the back end. Carter Hart, with every game and every day, was getting a little bit more experience. And then you got a guy in Brian Elliott that certainly has playoff experience. I like this team. I really do. I mean, and I don't see why they shouldn't be going into camp on Monday as a team that could do it. Like I said, there's a lot of, variables that, you gotta sort out, but they should have as much confidence as the Boston Bruins or the Tampa Bay Lightning or the St. Louis Blues, because they have a good team. And if they can get to that game that they had leading into the pause and get that confidence, this is a team that could do it.
Well, we'll all be watching. We'll be watching the NHL on NBC. I know it's going to get real busy for you, and I know you're looking forward to that as well. You got a record in sports that'll never be broken, Boosh. And I tell you it all the time, 332 minutes and 1 second of shutout hockey in a row. We appreciate you doing this, man. Be well, all right?
All right, Jason. Take care.
There he is. Brian Boucher joining us here on the show.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.